I am Ed Wilson, the scripting guy. I'm on the OMS team now, the Microsoft Operations Management Suite team. And it's actually a very, very, very cool team. And I'll be showing you some stuff from that. What's interesting, so when I was talking, you know, with Jeremy Winter, who is the Jeffrey Snover of OMS, he was talking to me about OMS, you know, and I thought, yeah, well, I wasn't sure really what all of that was. And so, but then when he started talking about automation and what it does with DSC, I started getting like really, really excited. And the reason is, you know, because, you know, with OMS, you know, and it is OMS automation, previously known as Azure automation, but, you know, my slides will still say it's Azure automation. It's the same thing. So please, please, please do not get me wrong on that. OMS automation, Azure automation, automation in the cloud, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. So what I'm going to talk about, we're going to do an overview of, you know, of Azure automation, OMS automation. We're going to look at the way that we can do heterogeneous IT management. Yeah, so so if you were here for Jeffrey's talk, and I hope that you were because it was awesome, of course, he mentioned, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, where we're playing, you know, in a multi-environment. So we got stuff in the cloud, you know, we got stuff on premises. You know, with OMS, you know, we can deal with the stuff in the cloud, we can deal with stuff in the premises. You know, we can deal with stuff that's in your virtual machines. You know, we can do containers, we can do Linux, we can do AWS. If you've got some Cisco routers, you know, and they log to syslog, we can adjust those logs and give you information about them. So it is a hybrid management solution. There's a lot of different stuff that OMS does, and it releases new stuff all the time, like every week, just about. But I'm going to be talking about, you know, the automation piece. So the key thing we're going to talk about, you know, what I like to call PowerShell as a service. So PowerShell, how many of you guys use and ladies use PowerShell? Raise your hand. Just about every single person here. That's awesome. Yeah, it wasn't that many years ago when I said, how many of you use PowerShell? And maybe Teresa would raise her hand, you know, the scripting wife. Or, you know, if he said, well, okay, how many of you have ever heard of PowerShell? You know, then maybe you get a few other hands. You know, so this is absolutely awesome. You know, PowerShell is not new technology. It's been around 10 years, which is like crazy ridiculous. So, and I've probably written about that many books on PowerShell, so that's also kind of crazy. So we're going to talk about using PowerShell as a service. So when we can put PowerShell into automation, you know, in the cloud, and it'll run. You know, you don't have to like worry about stuff. We can also do desired state configuration, DSC, and we can put that in the cloud, and we can do this for our different platforms. You know, you may have heard the announcement a few months ago where we announced that we have PowerShell DSC for Linux. So this means that using our solution right here, we can do DSC on Linux as well. If I've got time, I'll show you a slide about how you would configure a Linux machine, you know, to do the PowerShell DSC. You know, and that's a requirement for doing this. So if you don't have DSC, you can't do DSC, right? All right, cool. So that means you're not going to be able to manage to do DSC on your Vista machine, for instance. Yeah. So, supposing you still got one. So using DSC, we can, how available, you know, we can push, we can pull, we can monitor, report, and stuff like that. It simplifies stuff. But what it doesn't do is it's not going to cause you to have to rewrite all of your PowerShell scripts. You're not going to have to rewrite all of your DSC configurations. Okay, so anything that you've been doing, within reason, you'll still be able to do with this. Now, when I say within reason, if your PowerShell scripts have write host in them, that's not going to work because we don't have a host to write to, and you shouldn't be using write host anyway. Yeah, Jeffrey Snover quoted Don Jones. I'll quote him too. Don Jones says, every time you use write host, you know, it kills a puppy. I saw a picture of a cat. It was on Facebook. The cat was typing, right host, right host, right host. So what is the problem? Well, yeah, the problem is, dude, I've got 1,000 servers I need to configure. Okay? Now, in the old days, that meant if you were going to deploy 1,000 servers, you'd bring in a couple hundred hourly people. You had a configuration book that was about this thick, and you said, type these lines in. Yeah. And even when you were done, a couple months later, they weren't right. I mean, some of them are probably blue screening and everything else, And part of the problem is even if they think that they're deliberately typing everything in, which guaranteed, after a while, they're not. They're going to start taking shortcuts. They're going to forget where they were. So obviously that doesn't work. how do I manage all this stuff? Well, one of the things you could do is write a whole heck of a lot of PowerShell scripts and run all of those. But that's a lot of work too. So we'll kind of talk about that, look at it and all this stuff, but then if I try to write a whole bunch of PowerShell scripts, and I want to do my configuration, that also means that I've got to take care of different roles. So I've got a file server, I've got a web server, I've got, a whatever server, and I've got to be able to take care of those. All of my servers that are inside the same role need to have the same type of configuration. Obviously, otherwise you're going to run into problems. Okay? And then, if I got different roles, obviously they need to be configured differently because, they're two different roles. Okay, so, and then you got different other stuff, that has to be there. You got different people that are in charge of the different pieces and all of this other stuff. And so it just gets to be really squirrely really quickly. So what we want to do using automation was we want to be able to try to optimize and extend our existing investment. So you got these servers, they're on-prem, groovy, no problem, we can deal with that. You've got all these Linux servers, okay, no problem, we can deal with that. You've got a lot of stuff in AWS, like everybody else in the world, we can deal with that. You got stuff in Azure, that's cool, we can deal with that, obviously. Okay, so whether you're on-prem, in the cloud, wherever, whatever, we can deal with it because we can help you work with this stuff. Now, then we need to be able to deliver flexible but also reliable services. So these things have to be there. And we've got to be able to access these. We want to orchestrate this. So if I need to make changes, I need to be able to make sure that I can do this and then this and then this. The old-fashioned story, is you got a multi-tier application. And we need to shut things down in a particular order. We need to bring them back up in another particular order. That's a simple orchestration. Or you got software pieces that are dependent upon other software pieces. We need to orchestrate that. Cool, gravy, we can do that. So then we need to be able to do this because we need to lower the cost. The other thing on this is that as our demand grows, we need to be able to scale up and scale down quickly. And that doesn't mean, quickly doesn't mean spending 3 months typing a bunch of esoteric commands. OMS, Operations Management Suite, it is a suite. It is a bunch of different pieces. So we do backup, we do recovery. Our bread and butter is like log analytics, and we can ingest logs from everywhere, and we can do some stuff. We do a lot of security, alerting, and automation. Some of the really cool pieces that I enjoy playing with is like the wire data. Looking at stuff that's coming across the wire. I'm a geek. I read a book about network monitoring and analysis many years ago. That was actually the first book that I wrote that was published. And so I'm still like really excited with that. So patching, alerting, all this other stuff. So these are the different things that we do. I like to think about automation, Azure automation, OMS automation, whatever you want to call it, as PowerShell +++. I would say PowerShell on steroids, but Tobias Veltner already has PowerShell steroids copyrighted, so I can't use that one. He's an MVP in Germany. And what he did is a bunch of extensions on the IC, which is really, really cool. So PowerShell Plus. So we do runbooks. So runbooks. Not runbooks. Okay, so what's a runbook? Well, we just call them runbooks. Basically, it's a PowerShell script or a few commands. Okay, and we call it a run book. Don't ask me why. So these could be your scripts. Now, these could be existing scripts. Okay, assuming that you don't have a lot of write hosts and other silly stuff in there. Yeah, these could be scripts that you've already written that you are using, you know, that you just can put it into to a run book. We can also do configurations. These can be existing configurations that you have written and stuff. So one of the big things, one of the things that really, you know, so running a script, doing DSC, okay, cool. Yeah, you'd expect that. What really got me excited, though, was this centralized secure store. Okay? Now, why is that important? Because one of the things that we can store is, drum roll, credentials. Okay? This has been a problem with scripting since I began scripting 25 years ago. Okay? I know, I don't look like I've been in doing IT that long, but, you know, I held up well. But you know, credentials, okay? So, invariably, people in the Windows world, now, you know, Linux has some other solutions, you know, but people in the Windows world, invariably, they want to write the credentials in the script. Yeah, store it there. Administrator, yeah, password. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, you might be laughing, you know, but you know, I see over and over and over again. You know, when I get an email from somebody that wants to know how do I encrypt a PowerShell script, I know exactly why they want to encrypt the script because they wanted to put the credentials in there. Okay, yeah. So we solved that problem. Okay, that your credentials are stored in secure storage in the cloud. Cool. Okay, we also can store certificates. Dude, you know, with the way that we did certificates so many years ago, it wasn't designed for what other people were wanting to use certificates for. You know, I don't remember how many times when I was, you know, with MCS, I had to tell people, no, Microsoft certificates is not PGP. Okay, so we store certificates. This is how we can get the certificates around, be able to use those certificates now. We can store variables. Yeah, so what? Connections. Okay, one of the problems, you know, before we came up with this, one of the problems with trying to automate, you know, or to run PowerShell scripts against Azure, you know, was these ridiculously cryptic connection strings. Now, anybody that's ever tried to do this 2 years ago, yeah, you go out, you do searches, you know, you find some blog article that was written, you have no idea when it was written, and you start typing it, and it doesn't work, you know, and you don't know why it doesn't work. You know, is it because the article's out of date? Is it because I don't know what I need to plug in here as sample values? Because they always black out the stuff that I need to know. Yeah, so it doesn't matter now because we can store a connection. When you create your automation account, then you get an automation credentials, run as automation credentials, and you automatically get a run as automation connection. Okay? So, and we store that there. We got a place you can put your modules, your resources. You know, we do a draft and a published version of a script. Joe Levy, one of the PMs on the OMS team, he wrote a way cool Azure automation add-in for the PowerShell ISE. It's called the Azure Automation Toolkit, which if I had, you know, named it, I would have called it the, you know, Azure Automation, you know, IT add-in, or ISE add-in. But it's the automation toolkit, you know, so. And it allows me then, you know, to pull down all of my runbooks and stuff, you know, from Azure, you know, and then I can edit them inside the ISE, you know, so I get IntelliSense and all of that cool stuff, and then I can test it against Azure, and when I do that, a draft, it goes into edit mode, you know, up in the cloud, and then if I like everything, then I can publish it. Now, it'll still work in draft mode. So if you've got a scheduled job, you know, that's running this on a schedule, even though it's in draft mode, you've edited it, it'll still run. Yeah. But you know that it's in the draft mode. So we keep, you know, kind of some backup copies there. We also store your schedules. So I can create a schedule that say, I want to run 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Okay? Groovy. That is a schedule object. I can apply that schedule object to any run book that I want. So I only need to do the 7 a.m. Monday through Friday schedule one time. Write once, run many. Okay? So that's cool. So then we got the execution environment. Now, this right here is another biggie. This is something else that really got me excited, and this is the PowerShell DSC pool and reporting server. How many of you have ever tried to set up a DSC pool server? Okay, about half. Actually, that's really good. How many of you thought it was a very incredibly simple and ridiculously easy process? Only Richard Sidaway, and I think he's just being that way. That's his British understated humor. So it's a pain in the butt. Okay. Now we have good documentation around it, but the documentation is like 25 steps. You know, and it's like, you know, dude. You know. So, but when you do OMS automation, Azure automation, guess what? You get a pool server for free. It's automatically there. It just works. You are never, ever, ever going to find an article of any kind, you know, that says, how do I set up a pool server for OMS automation? There's no need for an article. It's there. You just use it. Okay? And same thing with the reporting server. So this is like way, 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 way cool. We got a REST API, an SDK, command list, you know, portal, all this other stuff. And, you know, this is actually pretty cool to the historical analysis of it. So we can see when the jobs run, you know, was it successful, and all of this other stuff. So PowerShell is a service, simple, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this is features that we introduced at the last PowerShell Summit, not the most recent PowerShell Summit, the one before that. You know, so the Runbook Gallery. So now this is actually really cool, you know, and this doesn't mean much. You know, the OMS team is in the same building that the PowerShell team is. Okay? That means it's like really easy to collaborate. You know, they're like on the second floor and the OMS is like on the third floor or something. Yeah. But yeah, they're like all right there. You know, so when we were doing the PowerShell gallery, you know, one of the things that we needed, you know, for OMS automation, you know, was we wanted to be able to use these scripts, to show these scripts. So that's how scripts wound up in the PowerShell gallery, you know, because the OMS team needed them. Okay? So we've got our runbooks are now in the gallery, which is like way cool. I already talked about that, you know, blah, blah, blah. There is graphical authoring. To be honest, I have never used it. You know, I'm still a PowerShell guy. You know, I don't do GUIs that much. So. And et cetera, et cetera. So since then, you know, this is the stuff, some of the stuff, and this isn't up to date. If you want to see the up-to-date stuff about the stuff that was released this month, the OMS team blog, I just started an OMS newsletter, you know, and it's going to be like a monthly newsletter telling you all of the new features we've introduced that month. And it's huge. There's a lot of stuff there. So anyway. The thing is that with OMS, you know, we're in continuous development. You know, we're introducing new features literally every month, sometimes every week, and we're incredibly responsive to comments from customers. You know, and sometimes, you know, customers have like, you know, sent out like a tweet and one of the PMs saw it and like fixed it that afternoon. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's like crazy. I'm not saying that we have Twitter support, but you know what I mean. So if I write a bunch of PowerShell scripts to try to do DSC, then that means I have to implement test, set, and report. So I need to write a script that's going to go through and see what the existing set configuration is. Then I need to write another script that's going to set that configuration. Then I need another script that's going to go back in and report and let me know, you know, whether it's up to date or not. And then I'm going to have to schedule it basically to kind of run all the time, you know, so that we can keep everything configured properly. So you can do it, sure, but it's going to be annoying. You know, you've got to, then you get your ports and all the other stuff that you're going to need to do. And since you've got all these scripts that are trying to do all of this stuff, it's not going to be really easy to understand. The thing on that is DSC solves these problems. Yeah, so with simplified configuration, configuration drift, I mean, this is DSC, plain old everyday PowerShell DSC. So as Jeffrey said, you know, it's the Jean-Luc Picard, you know, make it so, yeah. Which is actually really cool. And then, like, your computer just kind of, like, starts to hover and goes really fast, you know. So this is it, you know. The MDpotent automation thing, you know, that's just a word. I think the PowerShell team invented it, you know. And, yeah, it's in the OED, you know. It says, you know, PowerShell team invented this word, you know. But you know, they certainly made it popular. Nobody else had heard of it before. So what that means is that I can run the same script over and over and over again, you know, and I don't wind up with, like, you know, 25 directories that are named test, test one, with squiggly stuff, you know, and all this other junk, you know. Yeah, we run it, and that's it. So in the old days, every time I wrote a script to configure something, I always had to write a corresponding script at exactly the same time to unconfigure that something, so that I could test my script that was supposed to do something, because I very seldom write code that's more than a few lines long that runs perfectly the first time. So I have to have something that's going to roll back the environment so that I can run my script again, making certain that it actually works. Okay, so that's what the MDpotent automation thing means, is that you don't have to do that. So that's something that you get for free. Yeah, and this is just like PowerShell. So so here's my configuration. So I use a configuration keyword and give it a name. And then we've got our node. And then we use the Windows feature resource, DSC resource, and we ensure it and all this stuff. So you guys should be already familiar with this. You know, the cool thing about the ensure, you know, is that do I want this to be present or do I want it to be absent? And I can be declarative here in both cases. So I can say, yeah, I want, you know, this particular feature, I definitely want it to be present. And then I can say that there's another feature, you know, like maybe the desktop feature, that I don't want to be present. I don't want some moron installing the desktop feature on my servers. Okay? And so I can ensure that it is absent, which could actually be kind of funny. You know, so depending on what your DSC refresh cycle is, they install it, they start doing it, and it rolls back. I'd actually like to see that. So this is your configuration. So your configuration is just a simple PowerShell script. And then we compile it. And what is compiled goes back to the old-fashioned WMI stuff. It's a MOF file. If you look at a configuration file, it is basic. It's an ASCII text, just like WMI was ASCII text, and it is a MOF file, just like it reads the same way. Yeah, so the text files that you use to create your own WMI classes back in the old days, you know, this is the same kind of thing. Okay, so, and you can write these in Notepad or not. Yeah, so I prefer not. So we have the MOF config file, and then, you know, we need one of these for your configuration for your machine. Okay, and then we apply it. We can do a push, you know, so update config, yeah, or we can do a pull, you know, and have these things set up so that they automatically pull the configuration down. Now, okay, the problem is, okay, dude, so this is, like, really cool, you know, simple little script, okay? Well, I need a configuration for every server. Now, remember, we had 1,000 servers. Dude, that's 1,000 scripts. Okay? Dude, that's, or dudette, as the case may be. This is 1,000 MOF files. Now we're up to 2,000. You know, and now I've got to get this out to these machines. You know, and we have to have the configuration for every node. A node is like your computer. Oh, I knowed that. So we have to deal with all of this. What's that? In my mind, that is TMMP. Okay, that's a technical term. And it means too many moving parts. Okay, every time you have one of these moving parts, that is an opportunity for success or the alternate to success. Okay, so, but as they say on late night TV in the United States, but wait, there's more. And what's the more is, remember the moron that wanted to install the desktop service on the server? Well, he also has an access to the file share where we're storing these configuration scripts and these MOF files. Oh, no, Mr. Bill. Okay, so how do I control access to that but make sure that my machines get access to it? How do I track compliance across my entire environment? Who edited this configuration and messed it up in the first place? Hopefully, at least you've turned on auditing on that folder so you can see who accessed the configuration file. At a bare minimum, okay? Who messed this stuff up? You know, which nodes are compliant? Which ones are impended changes? You know, so reporting becomes a problem. You know, how do I orchestrate this configuration on a schedule or such a way that I do not impact my system uptime? Okay? So all of these become issues when we go to scale. Now, DSC is awesome. You know, as Jeffrey said this morning in his talk, you know, DSC is like, he didn't actually say this, I'm going to summarize what he said. Yeah, this is fundamental technology. This is like your plumbing, your infrastructure level. Okay? When we write PowerShell code, you know, we're basically creating an application to access this plumbing infrastructure. Okay? This is why large enterprises do something else besides writing a heck of a lot of PowerShell scripts and rolling their own. Okay? So there are some good third-party tools that are out there. You know, OMS is here as well. So we got Azure Automation DSC. So as part of the, I say Azure OMS. Problem is if I just say OMS automation, people don't necessarily know what it is. Yeah, so we set up the pull reporting service, you know, and it's up in the cloud. We can manage your physical host, we can manage your cloud host, your Linux, your Windows, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter. It is part of the automation service. So with the automation service that is in Azure, then we can do our runbooks, which runbook, think run a PowerShell script, or DSC, well, think DSC. So and with this, so we can import it, author it, compile it, we get our versioning, it distributes it to the nodes and all this stuff, easy onboarding and all this stuff. You can write a PowerShell script to onboard your devices into DSC, or you can just use the GUI, go click, 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 whatever you want to do. Yeah. So we author it. It's still the same way. You know, so we get that configuration. If you wrote it before while you were in your test bed and we're doing some stuff, you can use that. Okay? We got our DSC resources. The PowerShell team is awesome, you know, about releasing new PowerShell DSC resources to the PowerShell gallery. You know, I mean, they spend a heck of a lot of time doing this, and they've opened that up to the community. The community's writing their own resources and stuff, you know, because the PowerShell team can't do everything that everybody wants all the time. You know, and so all that stuff is in GitHub. You can go in, you can fork a project, you know, write your own stuff if you want to. That's cool. And then you can use it. Okay. So DSC resources, you know. Then we've got the staging, you know, the node configuration, you know, the checksum, you know, the zipping, the reporting, the in-service, you know, your VMs, your physical servers, on-prem VMs, you know, whatever. You know, we handle all of this stuff. You're not really going to get real involved in all of the moving parts. Okay? So this is just an architect diagram to kind of show you how this stuff works. So This is like some screenshots, you know, from the from the Azure automation. You know, so it is available. Now, one of the things that the OMS team has done that I absolutely love this. So long time ago, I used to be a net admin. Okay? And I would get these things that say, oh yeah, here's a trial version of our software, you know, try it out, see if you like it. Yeah. 30 days. And so I get it, install it. I get busy. I didn't have time to mess with it. The next time I got to look at it, boom, the trial's expired. So all of the several hours that I had spent setting up, installing, configuring, playing with, you know, it's just gone. Boom, disappeared. So what we've done on the OMS team is we came up with this idea, and this is an OMS patented term. So the PowerShell team has Indipotent. We've got PermaFree. That's right, PermaFree. So we have a free version of DSC OMS, okay, OMS, the whole thing, yeah, and it's free forever, yeah, until we change our mind. And which is really good. So you can start playing around with this. Now, you don't get everything, but you get most of the stuff. Yeah, and so we allow you to do 5 managed DSC nodes per subscription. Okay, so you got 5 nodes, you can kind of play around with this, and you can use them. If it's working for you, and you decide you need to add some more nodes, you can do it. It's like $6 a node per month. It's prorated daily. Now, this is actually really cool. So if you're in a smaller shop and you have to wear a lot of hats, you know, then you may have your SQL, you know, machine that you need to spin up, you know, while you're doing a little bit of dev test, whatever, you know, spin it back down. And, you know, you're only hit, like, you know, if you had it, like, for, like, a day, I don't know if we calculate it by the day or the hour or the minute or whatever, you know, but, you know, you spin it up, you spin it down, you know, so instead of paying $6, you know, for the month, you know, you might pay 25 cents, I don't know. You know. So, because it is probated on a basis there. Now, for your data, so I mentioned the log analytics, you know, that's like 500 meg a month, you know, and that's like a free level. You know, that may not sound like a whole lot. You know, Teresa in hers, she's got like, you know, 4 machines, and it's been running for a couple of months, and she's only got like, you know, 25, 50 meg worth of data. You know, why? Because she's very selective. I mean, she didn't collect every single log, you know, that she's not interested in. She went through and picked out the logs that she was interested in. Yeah, she picked out the performance monitor counters that she was interested in. Yeah, and so she went through the stuff and just selected, you know, the certain amount of things that she needed to, you know, to do that. Yeah, and so it works. It is very usable. So then we just go into the automation, you know, the DSC stuff, and we can see if they're not compliant, if it's failed, if it's compliant, or if it's unresponsive. Okay. So that's the quick high-level version. You know, so I applied my DSC configuration to these machines, and those are my results. Now I can go back in, and I can drill into it, you know, and I can find out, okay, the resource, not compliant, you know, and then we can come over here, and, you know, we can see some more, you know, detailed information. You know, we could also see, if we went down farther here, when was the last time that it actually was compliant? Okay, so this gives us then high-level overview, you know, and then we also have, you know, some more detailed information. Okay, so talked about all that stuff. The thing that you want to do, you know, is you want to tie, you know, these things together. Now, a runbook, like I said, it's a PowerShell script. Now, another reason, you know, that Teresa's, you know, installation hadn't, like, you know, blown the budget and killed a lot of stuff is because she has 2 runbooks that run every day, Monday through Friday. Remember I told you a 7 a.m. schedule? You know, and there's also like a 5 p.m. schedule. Now, at 7 a.m., she turns on the machines that are in a particular resource managed group. So all those virtual machines, they come up 7 a.m., they're up and running. You know, and then at 5 p.m., what do? You got it, they shut down. So they're not running on the weekend when she's not going to be doing it. They're not running at night when she's not going to be doing it. They're only running during the day when she's going to be working with her Azure automation stuff. Okay, really, really simple. I've got a couple of articles on the OMS team blog where I go over exactly that, step by step. Create the script, create the schedule. Okay, now for our scripts, we can do workflow. Okay, so PowerShell workflow, if you've done PowerShell workflow, groovy. Yeah. Now, it can be absolutely the simplest PowerShell workflow in the world. You know, we start off with a keyword instead of function. It says workflow, a couple like curly brackets. Then you put what you want to happen in the middle of that. So now, Richard Sidaway, who's in the back, he's a PowerShell MVP. He wrote a very, very, very good series of articles for the Hey Scripting Guy blog about workflow. Maybe 10 or 12 articles, I don't remember the exact number. They were awesome. Matter of fact, they're one of the most popular series of articles on the Hey Scripting Guy blog ever. One of those articles had more than 500,000 hits. So we're talking about like super stellar, you know, awesome stuff. I looked at it. They're good. They're very good. But for a lot of people, yeah, I was getting a lot of questions. So I wrote a series of articles about PowerShell workflow. It was five of them. The series title was called PowerShell Workflow for Mere Mortals. Because like Richard's like super smart. Yeah, I'm not so. And so I start at the very, very, very beginning. Workflow. W-O-R-K-F-L-O-W. Note, spelling counts. Okay, and then I'll work up from there. Okay, so I would recommend that if you want to start doing workflow using your Azure automation, your runbooks, your OMS automation, you know, that, and you're not really good on workflow, that take a look, read my series first, then go into Richard's series. There are some very, very real reasons why I want to do workflow. In my mind, the two top ones are A, I want parallel execution. Okay? Now, remember I told you about, you know, Teresa's runbook that is start all V2 VMs. Okay? I didn't tell you the name, but that's the name. It starts all V2 VMs. Okay? Not that hard. It's one PowerShell commandlet, you know, to start the Azure RM VM. Yeah. The workflow is just that. It does things sequentially, though. So it starts one VM. When that's completed, up and running, then it starts the next VM, and then it does the next one. Okay? If I added for each parallel into that workflow, then it would start all three at the same time. And it's not hard to make that change. Okay? Yeah, she hadn't done it, you know. She has a hard time getting PowerShell help at home sometimes. we can use this. So that's one, to do parallel execution. The other is maybe I need to do like some checkpoint restarts or something. You know, so keep progress of stuff that's going on. Now, the difference in DSC, desired state configuration, this is where I'm declarative. I say I want these things set up. So I can use those to set up my basic stuff, and then I can use these run books to make further changes, you know, to do some other stuff. You know, maybe I've got a bunch of software that I need to install in sequence, so workflows allow me to do sequential stuff, you know, on that. So blah, blah, blah. ARM templates. That's the way to go if you've got a whole bunch of stuff you want to do. They're pretty complicated. I'm not going to talk about that. Linux, okay, I'm just going to show this really quick. There's a number of packages that you need to have for Linux, blah, 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 blah. All of those at the top are the requirements before I get to PowerShell DSC. Okay, it lives on GitHub. And so it's just a list of your commands that you might want to use to do that. So then after you do this, you'll also need to set up an OMI server startup script as well. There's lots of examples of that. Then once you're done with that, then you use register PY, specify your automation account, registration key, and the URL. So I go into automation accounts, select my automation account. There's Teresa's. And remember, I told you everybody always scratches out the stuff. So then you'll go to the manage keys, which is under all settings. You know, you got the key, and then primary, secondary, the URL. That's what I need for as arguments to run RegisterPy. Gotchas. This one, the number one gotcha is at the very top of the list. You know, so we do not apply the configuration script to the node. We click compile. We apply the compile moth to the node. I don't in my configurations. So because we're going to go through there and apply this to our different nodes, we don't have to have that node declaration like you did if you were doing a push server or something like that, where you went through and specified the names of all the nodes that you were going to try to do. That becomes problematic when you have like 1,000 machines and stuff. So you can leave that out. You know, we manage by resource group. So set your roles, your server roles, as a resource group, you know, in Azure VMs, your virtual machines, you know, and then apply it to there. So, I've got 5 minutes because we started 2 minutes late. So I've got till noon. Who starts at noon?
Michael.
Mike starts at noon?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the review, and that's the team blog. So that's it. So, all right, so we're done.